So today is the first Sunday of Lent. Our Lent sermon series this year is based on the book by Mike Slaughter titled Renegade Gospel, The Rebel Jesus. This is also what will be discussed in the Lent small groups. And while we're speaking of small groups, our hope is that everyone will make an effort to be a part of a Lent small group. Whether you join one of the groups that's out in the foyer or sign out the materials and start your own group, that's up to you. There are definitely options, and we hope you'll join us on this journey. Lent is a time to dig deeper, to recommit our lives to Jesus, and turn from the things that distract us from living a faithful life. Remembering that faith in Jesus is not just about salvation from sin, but also working towards a meaningful life and love of God, self, and neighbor. It's a chance for us to focus on certain things as we prepare our hearts and our minds for Easter. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. No. We don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father, who lives in me, does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. Because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Will you pray with me? Father God, we pray for revelation, for your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds, revealing your good and perfect will. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Well, welcome. Once again, my name is Julie Klaus. I have the privilege of serving on staff here at Resurrection United Methodist Church. I may have mentioned this before, but I was raised Catholic. There was a crucifix in every room, along with various pictures of Jesus throughout the house. Many of those pictures and the ones I saw at church often displayed Jesus as sad or serious, sometimes effeminate, completely white. If you go on Google, there is really no end to the images that are used to portray Jesus. Yeah, that's a good one. In the early 90s, the Visual Bible came out with the movie The Gospel According to Matthew. We showed it right here in this sanctuary. Bruce Marchiano portrayed Jesus in a way I hadn't seen before. He was actually smiling and laughing. It made Jesus so much more real to me. His human side was apparent. And when I read the book Heaven is for Real, I learned of the child prodigy Akiani Kramerik, who had painted a picture of Jesus from a vision. She described him as very handsome and very strong, certainly not the effeminate pale image I had grown up with, or that passive white man holding a lamb that was on the Sunday school classroom wall. Perhaps some of you have had similar experiences. In the book Renegade Gospel, Mike Slaughter refers to Jesus as a rebel. Is that surprising to you? There have been many rebellious and controversial figures idolized in popular culture over the years. James Dean, to name one, became a cultural icon for his role as a troubled teenager in the film Rebel Without a Cause. And there are different kinds of rebellion. Our founding fathers rebelled against the tyranny of England and fought the Revolutionary War, a rebellion for which we're grateful. However, when our children rebel against us, we are not quite so grateful. The rebel Jesus, however, is unlike other rebels in history or those portrayed in pop culture, in that Jesus was not sinful in his actions. He was motivated by his total and absolute devotion to God. Jesus wasn't considered a rebel because he was relaxing the rules or not following the law. Quite the opposite. The difference between the teachings of Jesus and the legalistic teachings of the Pharisees was grace and mercy. While the legalistic laws of the Pharisees excluded people from coming to know God, in the book Mike Slaughter refers to it as teachings of rigidity and judgment, Jesus taught mercy and relationship. Jesus submitted to God's authority. He rebelled against the religious leaders of his day by his unwavering commitment to moral and religious purity, which was coupled with grace and mercy. The world is sinful, is it not? Ungodly attitudes and behaviors are the status quo, then and now. So to follow Jesus is to rebel. You know, we live in a world of political correctness where tolerance seems to be the number one goal. However, one of the most politically incorrect statements is verse 6 from our reading today. When Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Years ago when I first read this, I really didn't think anything of it. Years later, I remember being surprised at people's reactions to it. To me, it was simply the truth. But it is often this verse that causes people to refer to Christians as intolerant, narrow-minded, and exclusive. In this statement, Jesus is leaving no wiggle room. He isn't saying he's a way, a truth, a life. No. He's saying he is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is our bridge to God. He is saying you can't get there any other way. You can't get there by being good or by being religious, by being sincere or knowledgeable. Other religions will not get you there. Jesus doesn't just point the way. He is the way. He doesn't just teach us truth. He is truth. He doesn't represent a way to life. He is life. There is no compromise. If you want to get to the Father, you must go through the Son. Period. Do you believe that? Now that's a renegade gospel. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus performed miracles. Jesus never sinned. Jesus came to die. Jesus rose from the dead. As Christians, we believe these statements. We believe these facts about Christ. But belief isn't enough. Even Satan knows Jesus is the Son of God. We are called to follow Jesus. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That can be uncomfortable and difficult. Attempting to share this message with a society and a culture that completely rejects this view. There is a need for us to be respectful and gentle. Sharing the gospel through our actions, our relationships with others, and allowing the scriptures to make the argument for Christianity. But within that, we cannot waver from what we know to be truth. They are the words of Jesus. We are simply the messengers. We don't want to be disobedient to God just so we can please others, go with the status quo and fit in. We must choose to believe, and not only believe, but follow at the expense of everything else. We're called to be bold for Christ. Do you ever struggle with the uncertainty of the future? This is something that I've been dealing with lately in my personal life. As many of you know, I live in what used to be the parsonage, which is scheduled to be torn down in the spring. And while I am ecstatic about that and what it means for the future of Resurrection UMC, I am also experiencing some anxiety over it. While preparing for this message today, I ran across a poem that really speaks to this. That's the way God works, isn't it? Do not look forward to what might happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for us today will take care of you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace then and put aside all anxious thought and imagination. With Jesus as our way and truth and life, we can walk confidently into the future, knowing that he is with us to guide us. It does not matter that we don't know where he's leading us. And sometimes it may feel like he's heading us down the wrong path. But we must have faith that he is leading us. There's a story told by a professor of Luther College. Imagine you're walking through your neighborhood and you pass a house where the family is loading the car to go on vacation. There are three children, all under the age of 5, in the minivan. I remember those days. Waiting eagerly for mom and dad to finish the last minute details. You walk up to the minivan, poke your head in the window, and ask, "Where are you going?" They don't know. "What highway are you taking? How are you going to get there?" Wide-eyed, they say, they have no idea. "Where are you going to have supper tonight? Where are you going to stay?" Again, No idea. Then you ask, well, with whom are you going? Their eyes brighten and they answer, well, with Daddy and Mommy, of course. They didn't know exactly where they were going. They didn't know the way. They didn't know where they would eat or sleep. But with whom they were going, that they knew. That was all that mattered. They were going with Mommy and Daddy. And it was Mom and Dad who would take care of them, provide for them, and bring them to their final destination. God doesn't tell us all the answers about where we are going on the road of life. He doesn't tell us all the details about how we will be taken care of or what might happen to us along the way. But he does give us himself in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our guide, the guide who leads the way, because Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. As followers of Christ, we all need to decide, each one of us, not only that Jesus is telling the truth, but that he is truth. He promised that obeying his truth will lead to spiritual freedom, allowing us to enjoy all the benefits God has for us. He has promised us a full life in him, not an easy life, but full and abundant. If you declare Jesus is Lord, invite him into your heart as your personal Savior, and confess your sins, he promises you a home in heaven. And God cannot lie. The religious leaders of Jesus' time pulled away from the world. They were all about exclusivity. Get yourself together. Obey these thousands of laws, and then we'll see. Jesus is a different way. It's all about relationships, engaging people, loving people where they are at. Jesus isn't about religion. He's about the least, the last, and the lost. The Gospel of John tells us in the first chapter that the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. As Jesus followers, we should expect opposition. It may be from the world, or it may be from the body of Christ. Are we rebels for Jesus, or are we the Pharisees? As Christians, we may find ourselves being judgmental or critical of others while considering ourselves righteous. We may act holy in an effort to impress others, but what's inside may be very different. If Jesus were sitting here this morning, would we recognize him? Would he be well received or rejected? If he preached from this pulpit, would his message surprise us? What would he challenge us to do? Would our lives align with his plan? Or would we be at odds, like the Pharisees of his day? Rodney Buchanan said, the belief that Jesus Christ is the only true way to God is not just some abstract theological consideration. It is the belief that Christians for 2,000 years have based their lives on. They have bled and died for that belief, and they are still doing it today. What difference is this belief making in our lives? Life's biggest decision is what we do with Jesus and how we proclaim him to a lost and dying world. I pray that God grants us the grace to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, each and every day we head out into a world that is often hostile to you and your followers. We pray for strength, for wisdom, and perseverance as we do our very best to live lives of thanksgiving, lives that honor you as we walk in the hope that comes from knowing and following your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be a beacon of light in our homes and our communities as we seek to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.